Man, I can't believe, we can't believe we're in Cape Town, South Africa. We've heard about Cape Town. Many of you know Ron and Lavanya Drabo, who used to lead the church in Johannesburg. When they left there, they came to Chicago. And I was serving as an elder there at that time. And he used to rave about South Africa and about Johannesburg, but especially about Cape Town and its beauty. And he was right. I argued with him. I said, well, you haven't been in San Diego, you know, what do you know? But he was right. It's so beautiful here, and we've fallen in love with George and Mary and Natalie. We're staying with them. I told them, yeah, we're going to be with you, I think, 3 months, and they all three fainted. But we're just going to be here a week. But, you know, there's something I wanted to take care of right off the bat. Before we get into gratitude, well, it's kind of, it's a personal gratitude. Turn over to Proverbs 31. Yes, we've been married 50 years, they say. I think there's been a miscalculation. Couldn't have been that long. But many, many years ago, I met this beautiful young woman, and I've frequently read this scripture here. A wife of noble character, who can find? And I wrote in my Bible many years ago, I did! Exclamation point. She's worth far more than rubies. I'm just going to read a few of these. She brings him good and not harm all the days of her life, verse 12. Verse 15, she gets up while it's still dark. So true. Number 17, she gets about her work vigorously. So true. Verse 20, she opens her arms to the poor and extends her hand to the needy. So true. Verse 23, her husband is respected at the city gate. Partially true. Verse 25, she is clothed with strength and dignity and can laugh the days to come. So true. Verse 26, she speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Very true. Verse 28, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And that's what I'm doing right now, verse 28. Verse 30, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but she still has it. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. I think the only one that doesn't apply to her is verse 18, the second part. Her lamp does not go out at night. At about 9:30, she goes out. So you got to work on that one the next 50 years. But seriously, it's been such a privilege to be married to Linda Tucker Brumley now for the last 50 years. And she pretty much does fit all of these characteristics I just read. And she wrote a book last year. If you have an opportunity to get it, she didn't make any money on it, so this is not a commercial. But it kind of is like sitting with her and talking with her. And it would be worth, it's a good read for the gals, for sure. Honey, come and give me a kiss. We're going over to Simonstown for a kind of getaway. And when we were a year or so ago talking about what we wanted to do for our 50th, we were talking about all these fabulous places. I think the one we were going to take a senior's tour to the Grand Canyon. Little did we think we would be in Cape Town, South Africa, probably one of the most enviable places in the world to spend your 50th wedding anniversary. And we had no dream or imagination that we might end up in Cape Town. So we're grateful to God and to the brothers who invited us here. It's not the reason we accepted the invitation. I didn't even connect until after we had decided to come, and then we started looking at the calendar and said, whoa, we're going to be there on our 50th anniversary. It's pretty great, pretty great. Okay, turn your Bibles over to Luke 17. That was all free. That wasn't part of my notes. Do you use the word panacea, you Brits, you British-speaking South Africans? I asked for some water, not a table. Oh, there we go. Maybe it's a different word for water. Oh, I know what it is. Water. We say water. Very good. Anyway, panacea. It's a word that you know, is kind of prominent. It's a cure-all. And the world would have us believe that there are many cure-alls, depending on what they're selling. Like some say, you drink 8 of these a day and you'll never be sick again. I don't think so. Or if you take a fish oil pill, you probably heard that one. That's a cure-all. That's a panacea for anything that ails you. Vitamin C in massive amounts. I kind of subscribe to that one a little bit, but it's not a panacea. You still have problems. You still get sick. Aspirin. Take an aspirin a day, especially you guys that are over 40. Take an aspirin a day for many things, but keep your blood kind of thinned out a little bit. Or this is one you hear a lot in America anyways, no red meat. Don't eat red meat. Of course, you guys believe that one because when you cook it, it becomes black. Have you noticed that? South African braai. Do you guys braai down here? Anyway, we won't get into that. But red meat, don't eat red meat. That's a panacea if you don't do that. Exercise will fix everything that's wrong health-wise. Vacation, we're going to try that one this week. None of those are panaceas. I think God proposes that gratitude, a spirit of gratitude, is indeed a panacea, both physically and spiritually. So let's read a little bit here in Luke 17, and we'll talk a few minutes about the panacea of gratitude. Verse 11. Now on his way home to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going to a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were clean. They were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you whole." It's made you well. You know, this is an amazing story for many reasons. The fact that Jesus could heal immediately. It's an amazing story that about gratitude and ingratitude. But you know, the sickness of leprosy in the first century was much like the sickness of AIDS today. Early on, when AIDS was being discovered, I remember distinctly having the fear, and it was kind of prominent fear, that if you were in a room with people with AIDS and they were expelling air and germs, you could get AIDS. It is an awful disease, but praise God, there's a lot of good things happening in that realm. Leprosy in the first century was perhaps even more prevalent because people were ostracized if you had leprosy. You start out losing extremities, fingers, and then you've perhaps seen pictures. They still have a bit of a leprosy problem in India. And people would lose fingers, and then they would lose a part of their hand. It would just be a nub. And as it got worse, things would just kind of fall off. It was a gross, awful disease. And it ostracized. People were ostracized. They were put in communities. And these 10 guys were, it says, as he was going to a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance. That was what was required of them, to keep your distance, because it was felt if you touched somebody with leprosy, you would get leprosy. Now, I don't think that's true. It's not true. But that was what was felt in that time. And of course, Jesus, the man of great compassion, was able to heal them. And what do you suppose were the excuses of the nine who were totally ungrateful? Perhaps they thought, well, he was just doing his job. He's a healer. Healers heal. You know, no big deal for him. Well, he knew in my heart I was grateful. I just didn't say it. Or they may have, some of them may have thought, well, I should have probably, but I just kind of forgot. I got distracted with the excitement. Or perhaps some of them thought, well, I didn't deserve to have leprosy in the first place, so why should I be grateful? Perhaps some of those we can resonate with us. But it's clear from the passage, particularly, look in verse 17. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other nine? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Jesus expected gratitude, didn't he? He expected them to be grateful. Where are the other nine? So this is an important biblical topic. It's something that Jesus expects. It's something that's not in our nature. The writers of the New Testament throughout picks up on the theme and repeats his intent. But you know, like many traits of character in the Bible, gratitude is not something that just comes naturally. Little kids, we had four, they're not little anymore, but they have to be taught to be grateful. Children have to be taught to be loving. Children have to be taught many, many character traits like gratitude. And it's such an important quality. That many countries in the world have a day of Thanksgiving. It's an important holiday. And so let's spend a few minutes here talking about how to become more grateful. And the first thing I want to propose is that we have the Spirit of Jesus in our life. Without the heart of Jesus, we'll not be grateful. You know, we will be stuck with our own natural selves who kind of take for granted whatever comes our way. In our natural self, we're self-centered. I'm speaking of firsthand information here. Critical, the feeling of being a victim. Victims, the focus is all about them. Ingratitude is a heart problem fundamentally, isn't it? It's something that we either have in our heart or we don't. When we as Christians are born again, and we talk about that, and the Bible talks about being born again, and part and parcel of that, and primarily, we get a new heart when we're born again. We get the heart of Jesus. Now, we have to develop that heart, but he becomes the definer of how we think and how we relate in our opinions. And at rebirth, at baptism, we get that new heart. Where one of the characteristics of new heart, the heart of Jesus, is a spirit of gratitude. You know, only in Jesus is that new heart possible. Only in Jesus can an adult just start all over. And that's one of the beautiful, beautiful things about salvation, about baptism, and about the act that Jesus left for us to go through, to put him on. is to become like him. And so this new life is only possible through him. And Linda's going to be talking about forgiveness to the woman Wednesday night. A great workshop she's developed. She's given it many, many different places. But you know, in Jesus, forgiveness is possible. Forgiveness, I think, breeds gratitude. Gratitude breeds forgiveness. You know, it should produce a spirit of gratitude. You know, in Colossians 2, verse 6, Paul puts it this way. So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Continue to become like him. Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Not just barely thankful, but overflowing. You know, we're called as Christians to continue in him. Not in the past, not in the old familiar ways of thinking and being ungrateful. In the way we used to deal with people. But not taking things for granted, but in the way he teaches us to relate, to be grateful. You know, one result of continuing to live with Jesus, as the scripture there we just read, is to overflow with thankfulness. You know, I pose the question, what do you overflow with? What overflows in your heart? And how can you know what you overflow with? Well, the Bible says in Matthew 12, verse 34, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our words, our speech, what we talk about, how we talk, reveals the extent of gratitude in our heart. You know, I think it's good for us to take an inventory from time to time. What do you talk about the most in your life? What gushes from your mouth most? If you had a tape recorder and somebody wired you up and every word that you spoke for a week was on tape, and then we sat down and analyzed your speech, what would be the predominant themes? Hopefully, gratitude would be one of them. And if it's not, after today, it will be. That, you know, remember, the words that we speak, what we talk about, how we talk, reveals what's on our heart. And that's a great little thermometer or barometer of how we're doing, is what are the words that come out of our mouth? What's the predominance of what we talk about? Okay, secondly, the first point there was how to become more grateful, become more like Jesus. Secondly, observe your blessings. You know, when the one grateful man in the Luke 17 story in verse 15 saw he was healed, he observed something. The healing of leprosy is very observable. I wish, you know, if I was high tech, I'm kind of no tech. But I do have a PowerPoint. I told the class yesterday, I was an elementary school teacher and principal. This is my PowerPoint. I had it in the 70s, way before the electronic PowerPoint. I have actually two of them. And I can use them both at once. And I used to come in really handy. You kids in the back, sit down. And what did that have to do with anything? I don't really remember. But I'm old and I can get away with that. But when he saw he was healed, that's what it was. When he saw he was healed, he went back and praised God and thanked Jesus. He thanked him. So we need to observe our blessings. This week, this life, look at your blessings. List them. Think about them. Praise God for them. Thank the people that are on your list. Thank God and Jesus for your life, for this church. What a beautiful facility you have. Thank God for that. Thank God for Vernon and Lisa who lead you. Thank the people in this room who perhaps study the Bible with you or help you make important decisions in your life. Thank those that have just loved you through thick and thin. for your many friends, for your spouse who loves you the most, for your children that God has given you. Thank God for them. Be thankful for all these things. List. Be sure you're, if you have grandchildren, put them on the list. For the car that got you here this morning, and the air conditioning we had yesterday in the car driving home on a very hot day, I was very thankful. For the food that you have available this morning, each meal, for your job, for your country, for your leaders. There's so many things that should be on our list that we're grateful for. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible says that the stories of the Old Testament were written to remind us. They were written to warn us. You know, and in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 10, it says to not grumble. Grumbling is a spirit of ingratitude, isn't it? As some of them did, and they were killed by the destroying angel for grumbling. Now, I don't think any of us are going to get blasted or killed by a destroying angel for grumbling, but it's in there, and it's kind of a nice reminder, isn't it, to not grumble. And I know about you, but I need that reminder that, you know, something, living a life of ingratitude would be even worse than I think being zapped by a destroying angel. Is that a life of ingratitude can just sour your life. It sours the life of people in your life, your family, your children, your friends. If you're a grumbler, a complainer, my goodness, it's just kind of a black cloud follows you around. And it's almost like leprosy. You know, people don't want to be around you if we're in ungrateful continually. So there is a limit to God's patience. I think that is the point of 1 Corinthians 10. But in the Luke text, Jesus expects us to be grateful for our faith, for the Bible, for Him, for forgiveness, for people in our life, for godly advice and input that you get. And hopefully you're getting godly advice. We talked yesterday to the parents of the young and the old. We had two classes, and one of the points we made in both was, you know, it takes a church to raise, it used to be, you know, the African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child. Updating that, it takes a church to raise a child. And unless we're getting advice and input on raising our kids, we're really missing out, and we're going to mess it up for sure. Being thankful for the godly leaders God has placed in your life. You know, ingratitude comes out of a complaining, difficult to motivate person. An attitude of just kind of the glass is always half empty kind of mentality. And the more we see our blessings in life, the more we talk about them, the more grateful, the more gratitude is going to overflow from our hearts. And then thirdly and lastly, we've got to decide to be grateful. We've got to decide to be grateful. It doesn't just happen by having an occasional thought, yeah, I need to be more grateful. But to actually set out on a course where gratitude will be the end result. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, it says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Isn't it inspiring when somebody's going through a difficulty in their life, experienced a death or a serious sickness, that they maintain that joyful, thankful spirit? It's so inspiring. It's of God. It's that new heart. That's the only way it can happen. The thankful leper in Luke 17, verse 15, he says, when he saw he was healed, he made a conscious decision. It doesn't say that, but he did, to go back and thank Jesus. Gratitude comes from the decisions we make during the course of a day. To start the day off pleasant, the conversations we have during the day, the spirit of gratitude that we express is a result of a decision, of the decisions we make to be grateful. It's God's will to give thanks in all circumstances, the bad as well as the good. We've heard stories from, as Werner said, we've been here since mid-January, and we've moved every 10 days or so. And we've heard so many wonderful stories about great things happening. We've heard heartbreaking stories. But you know, we've noticed in the families of Christians that there's been a theme. Regardless of the heartbreak or the excitement, there's a spirit of gratitude. And you know, news of cancer, we just heard this morning on email that a dear friend of ours has got two different kinds of cancer. And they're Christians, and I really trust, I believe, that they will have a spirit of gratitude during that. Linda has had three different kinds of cancer. She has a kind of cancer now. I've had cancer and heart disease. When you get old, you have all that stuff. You know, the body wastes away. What the Bible says is true. But we can still be grateful about the good things in our life. Blood disorders, heart disease, you know, loss of jobs. That's happened to a lot of people in the last 2 or 3 years. Heard a sister just the other day saying that she's been looking for a job for about over a year and a half, 2 years. The death of close family members happens to all of us. From the world's perspective, much of life is overwhelming. When you think about it, from a worldly perspective, all of this stuff that I'm just enumerating is somewhat overwhelming. It's shattering. Yet, the Bible says that it's God's will that we give thanks in all circumstances. Isn't that incredible that we can actually do that? It's real. We can do it if we have the heart of Jesus. You know, obviously we have to decide to be grateful, to see life circumstances from God's perspective, not from ours. You know, there's no way that we can be critical, cynical, negative, fearful, judgmental, self-centered, sarcastic, worried, harried, and thankful. They can't coexist. So it's much better to choose to be thankful, to be grateful, and to catch yourself even in mid-cynic, in mid-cynic sentence, in mid-negativity, in mid-judgmentalism, and correct yourself and stop yourself and be thankful. A couple of observations as we close. You know, many who are given the most are the least thankful. Some who you do the least for on behalf of are the most grateful. Pride feeds the spirit of ingratitude. Prideful people see things their way. Grateful people find creative, sacrificial ways to show their gratitude. Gratitude, and this is an important one, must be expressed. It can't be just a feeling. In regular installments, it needs to be expressed to be significant. Sincere gratitude is extremely motivating and inspiring. Ingratitude is draining. Most ingratitude stems from thoughtlessness, laziness, out-of-touchness, if that's a word, self-focus, just not noticing the blessings. And then a couple of practicals. Begin every prayer, and hopefully you pray every day. Begin every prayer with gratitude. Be specific in your gratitude, not general. Be specific, particularly if you're expressing it to another person. Desire that gratitude becomes one of your greatest attributes. Don't allow your complaints to outnumber your compliments. Let me say that one again. Don't allow your complaints to outnumber your compliments. Be more complimentary than you are complaining. In other words, matter of fact, eliminate complaining. Don't always notice the negative. Don't always voice the negative you do notice. Confess and repent of negative attitudes. Force yourself, if necessary, to think grateful thoughts. Have gratitude sessions with your family, with your roommates. Do it for sure this week, you'll forget. We used to do gratitude sessions with our four kids when they were little at home in family nights. And we'd go around with each child and tell them, and they would tell us what they were grateful for. It's a great exercise for us to get in the habit of doing. Quickly express gratitude. Procrastination, putting it off, robs us of a spirit of gratitude. Matter of fact, right now, if there's somebody sitting next to you that you know, tell them what you're thankful for them for. Just very briefly, I'm going to give you about 30 seconds. Go. Expressing gratitude. Okay, time's up. I'm going to get my PowerPoint out. You people back there. Okay, so we will experience God's panacea for a wonderful life if we incorporate what he's telling us to do, and that is to be grateful. Be grateful as we take on the Spirit of Jesus. Be in tune with the daily blessings for your life. And third, just decide to be more grateful. Amen. Thank you so much.